So great to have everybody. Great to see each other this morning. I want to read a verse just this morning, Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Let's read it together. It says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins." So this is like a very small story that Jesus shared, right? Actually, in all four Gospels, right at the start of kind of his ministry, and he's wanting us to get something. It's not that he's like looking at everybody to think about wine and talk about wine, but he's trying to create a metaphor. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want us to think about, what's he trying to say here? What does it mean to us today? And what's God's heart for us? And this morning, kind of the title of what I'm thinking about is New Wine and His Wonderful Grace. New Wine and His Wonderful Grace. And this morning, what he has done in your life, if you're a Christian, is that he has poured new wine into you. Now, what is the wine this morning? Let's just clarify what the wine is, and what Jesus was trying to define in those days was, he was saying the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the grace of God, that whenever we ask Jesus into our lives and we give our lives to him, what happened was the Holy Spirit came into our lives. We suddenly got filled with his grace. We got filled with his mercy. We got filled with his forgiveness. And what Jesus is trying to show his disciples is the same things that he's trying to show us today. The old system is gone. And there's a new system that's here. There was an old system of rules and regulations, and you must do this, and you must do that, and you must stay this way, and you must pray this way, and you must do all of these things. In other words, you were never quite good enough, but if you just about fulfilled all the rules, you would make it. And then the new day would happen, and you'd have to fulfill all those rules again. It was exhausting. That's the old system. And what Jesus is trying to show the disciples in this moment, he actually tells three different stories, but we'll just concentrate on this one this morning. He says to them, I want you to know there's a new system because it's a new day. I want you to understand that the moment that I came, everything changed. That in the old days, it worked like this, rules and regulations. But good news this morning, church, we now live in grace, in his wonderful grace. And here's what I feel God's heart is for us this morning, that we've got to realize that the grace of God is inside of us. And fundamentally, here's what God has been speaking to me about, and here's what he wants us to get this morning, is that if we're not careful as Christians, we will come to him and we'll be broken and exhausted, and we'll say to him, God, I need you, and we'll take him, and the Holy Spirit will come and he will transform us. And then before you know it, we'll try to just continue on in the life that we always lived. Now, we may not do the bad stuff anymore, but we'll probably still think the same way, talk the same way, act the same way. But the goal of Jesus in our lives and the goal of the new wine is that we recognize that we are different people, that we recognize that there's a new work inside of us. And what God is trying to show us this morning is we are the wineskins. That we are the wineskins. And the old wineskin was not good enough, so therefore in Christ we became new creations. So you are a new wineskin this morning. Can I tell you about the wineskins? The wineskins back 2,000 odd years ago were not kind of neat little bottles like we have. We have glass bottles and liquids go inside of them. Wine goes inside of them, oil goes inside of them, water goes inside of them. But back in those days, back in Jesus' time, back in the Old Testament, you had wineskins. And what they represented was animal skin. Hope that's not grossing anybody out. But it was animal skin, and it was put together. And it wasn't just very neat and tidy, but it was usually big, because you maybe take like a whole goat, or you take like a whole cow, or you take a whole animal, and you would sew it all up, and suddenly that would become your waterproof container. And then inside of that, you would put all the goodies. Now, that doesn't sound that good, but they tried their best to keep it clean, and they tried their best to make it good. But inside would be the wine. Now, the reason why God talks this morning, the reason why Jesus said back then, but if you put new wine into an old wineskin, you're going to burst it. And then the old wineskin's going to be ruined, and the new wine's going to be lost. Now, what's he trying to say through that? He's using something that's physical to use it as a metaphor for something spiritual. And he says to us this morning, the reason why I transformed you, the reason why you're a new creation in Christ, is because if I had left you in the old state, you couldn't have contained the new Holy Spirit that was coming inside of you. You couldn't have contained the new that's coming inside of you. Because here's what happened. When you would put the wine into the wineskin, it would have to be a fresh wineskin because that wine needed to mature. That wine needed to ferment. If you're into your wine, then you'll know that. It needs to ferment. It needs time to mature. And so what would happen during that fermentation process is that the volume inside the wineskin would increase. And so therefore, the wineskin would have to be able to stretch. It would have to be able to move. It would have to be able to grow with the wine that was inside of it. Church, this morning, we are the wineskins. Why did he transform us? Why did he change us? Why does he make us a new creation in Christ? Because when he would pour in the new stuff, we would explode otherwise. When he would pour in the good stuff, we would explode. Jesus, in fact, what he was saying back in those days was that if you try to mix me in with religion, if you try to mix me in with all the other things that are going on today, I'm going to explode this place. I'm going to wipe this place out because I've got to go into something fresh. I've got to go into something new. Church, this morning, God has created a new wineskin in you. You are a new creation in him. You are a new creation in him. And what he has done is he has poured in this fresh wine. He's poured in this fresh anointing. He's fresh, poured in this fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, it is inside of us, and it is renewing us, and it is transforming us. And the heart of God for all of us this morning is to know this, that without doing anything, God is doing something in you. Even when you're unaware of it, God is doing something in you. And what we said in our team time is what I want to say this morning, is that we've got to recognize what God is doing in us. Otherwise, we'll hold back and we'll try to fit in and we'll try to patch up and we'll try to just have a tiny bit of Jesus and we'll try to mix him in with everything else in our lives and then we'll wonder why everything's going in a mess. Is because you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine gets lost and the old wineskins get split. If you're feeling like you're torn, then you need to surrender afresh to the Lord this morning. If you're feeling like I'm being pushed and pulled in every direction, then I want to encourage you this morning. You're not under the law any longer. You're under grace, and his grace will sustain you. What does that look like in a normal everyday? It looks like this in simple practical terms. Whatever way you talked yesterday will not be the way you talk today if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to move through your life. Do you remember when you used to talk back and used to say, oh, I'd never do this and I'd never do that and, you know, I'll always be this way? It's all of that kind of talk that if we're not careful, that becomes the talk that we speak every day. But you're a new Christian in Christ. He's taken you from glory to glory. There is new wine inside of you. All you are is a wineskin. And if we allow, he's going to expand us, he's going to grow us, he's going to mature us, the Holy Spirit is going to move inside of us, and suddenly the way you used to talk is not going to be the way you talk any longer. If we want to know how we're growing, find out how you're talking. Ask somebody else. Maybe record yourself. We don't like to hear our voice, but you need some way to find out, how's my thinking changing? How's my talking changing? How are my actions changing? Can I tell you this morning that if you're not seeing your actions change, then maybe you need more of that new wine. Maybe you need more of that Holy Spirit. If you're finding yourself that your talk is not changing, if you're not becoming Christ-like, if suddenly your thoughts and unforgiveness is not changing in the way that it needs to change, i.e., you're still harboring unforgiveness for that person for 10 years, you need more of his wine. You need more of his Holy Spirit, because otherwise you're going to continue to harbor those thoughts and you're not going to become the person that he has called you to be. This is a new season. This is a new day. Amen? This is a new time. We are under a new system, and it's a system of love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and that's what's inside of each and every one of us. So the old wineskin, you got to leave it alone. You got to let it go because he has given you a new wineskin. I said it. The old system, it's gone. The old system of, I've got to do da-da-da, it's gone. It is gone. We are under grace, and by his grace, he sustains all things. He's sustaining you by his grace. Our old life, church, our old life is gone. Our old life is completely gone. We've got to know this. We've got to know this. Our old life is completely gone. It wasn't even our decision. It was his, because he decided to remove that old wineskin, because he knew the moment he would pour in that fresh anointing, that he would pour in his power, he would pour in his grace. If it wasn't a new wineskin, you would be fit to burst, and it would not work. Now, back in these days, a lot of people got mad, because guess what? The Pharisees said to Jesus, the Pharisees, they said, Jesus, why are you not like us? Why are you not doing things like we do them? Why? In other words, why are you not fitting in? Ever find yourself struggling to fit in because really you're meant to stand out? Amen? Ever find yourself in the workplace and you're trying to fit in because you want to make a difference and all you're doing is frustrating yourself and you're just getting annoyed and nobody else is getting any goodness out of you? Because remember, when you try to put new wine into old wineskin, all gets lost. All gets lost. It's just a big mess. But what God wants us to recognize is who we are. We are not called to panic. We are not called to fret. We are not called to worry. We are not called to fit in. We are called to stand out. That is what he has called us to do. And maybe you've got so used to fitting in that even scares you. But God says this morning, I want to pour something fresh inside of you. I want to take it out of your hands. I want to just transform you. I want to give you that new wineskin over and over and over again. And I want to fill you over and over and over again because I've called you to make a difference. They said to Jesus, could you not be like everybody else? That's really what they were always asking him. Could you not just be like us? He says, no, I've come to change the whole system. Why are we here in Armagh? Because we've come to save a city. Why are we here this morning? Because we've come to celebrate all that God is doing. But what is our ultimate goal and purpose? To see all 15,000 and more as it grows saved, bind the knee to Jesus, in love with the Savior, ready to go and transform the whole nation. This town, this city, this area was known as Saints and Scholars, but it's too long ago. It's thousands of years ago. So could it not be us? Could it not be us? Come on, you could say amen this morning, even if you don't believe it, but you want it. You could say amen, because could it not be us this morning that we would say, Lord, I know I'm a broken wineskin. I know that I don't feel adequate enough. I don't feel like I'm as good as St. Patrick or whoever is in your thinking right now. But Lord, I say, use me. Use me. And watch how that oil comes, that wine comes, that Holy Spirit comes, that he comes, and he just transforms everything about you. He just transforms you. Because we haven't come to fit in. We've come to see a harvest reaped. We've come to see a whole city saved. You know what I believe? Our words are powerful. And the more that we speak it, the more that is happening. In the beginning, there was nothing, and then the Lord spoke, and the worlds were created. When we spoke, what happened in salvation? He came into our lives. He transformed us. He changed us. Our sins were forgiven. Everything was changed. Guys, we have to realize our language is so important. What we speak is vital. What we say is essential. What we speak into the spirit realm, what we speak into the world is crucial for what's going to happen next in the things of God. What are we speaking? What are we praying? Remember, there's a new wine inside of you, and it's causing you to move. So I want us to look at three quick things this morning because I know our time is going. First one is this. We're living, living in the old way. Are you still living in the old way? Have you found yourself that you're still living? You ever find those people that's just, everyone's brilliant from the past, you know, just music's not the same, you know what I mean, cars are nowhere near as good. Now, all of those things could be true, but we're not living back then. We're not back then. We're living today. And here's what I've found. Nostalgia is a wonderful thing, but it wants to imprison you in the past and not allow you to move into the future. Why were all of those things, can I just stir your thoughts for a moment? Why were all of those good things that you remember back then good? Because someone pioneered them. Because somebody did something that had never been done before. They wrote a song that had never been written before. You're like, that's the best song ever. Now, what we want to do is we want to ring fence around it and go, protect it, keep it safe. Like, let's just always protect that song because it's the best song ever and there'll never be another song like it. But if we had done that back then, we would have never got that song. So you can appreciate the past. You can enjoy history. You can put your vinyl records on. I know Andrew's got a vinyl record player. But you can put your vinyl records on and you can enjoy that. But we shouldn't be against what God wants to do next because he's always doing something new. Here's what I've realized. We can look in awe and wonder at St. Patrick if it's about our time, and that's where we are. And we can congratulate him even though he's dead, and we can praise him and all those things. But it isn't going to do nothing for today. It's not going to do nothing. But what it can do is it can inspire us and say, okay, what he done, let's do something greater. I think Jesus said that. That's what his heart is. Not that we would build around what he did, but we would build around his presence because it's always moving. It's always moving. Guys, there is a new wine in you. There's a new Holy Spirit in you. There's a new purpose in you. There are new plans in you, and you must step into them. You must pioneer them. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel like, oh, there's nobody around me. It's going to feel like you're stepping into many trials. Absolutely. Because born out of many trials came wonderful things. As you would battle forward, as you would keep going, as you would press in, as you would believe, that tension, that restriction, that strain would cause great things to happen. Like right now, what's going to happen? They're working really hard on the coronavirus to get a vaccine. I mean, they're going to work really hard. And eventually, they're going to crack it. Because we have wonderful scientists, we have wonderful pharmacists, we've got wonderful people, they're going to get it. Now, what caused something wonderful to take place? Something negative had to happen. It's the way it always seems to be. Once adversity comes, then we start to rise up. Otherwise, it's just bliss and nothing takes place. So guys, can I encourage us this morning that if you're living in the old ways, if you're constantly living old, that God's saying, move forward. Move forward. Appreciate the past, but do not live there and do not get consumed by it because you're called to do something fresh like those guys were back then. If they didn't do something fresh, we wouldn't have something to build around today. Don't get stuck there. Here's what I find. And the Pharisees were talking about it back then. They wanted to have a bit of a mix of both. Ever find yourself just wanting a wee bit of mix of both? Man, I just want the old school and the new school. Sometimes I say that to myself. But really what I'm saying is, God, I want all of you have done wonderfully back then. I want to bring it into the now and then step into the future that you've called us to. But you cannot have a mix of both. And essentially what Jesus was saying and what they were trying to force back in those days was, could we have a bit of the law? You know, could we have a bit of the law that says if we don't do anything, you know, stepping out for God one day, is it okay if we just do the ABCs? Will that keep us good that day? And God says, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. The old is completely gone. You can't have a pick and mix. Anybody like going to the cinema and you get a pick and mix? I mean, they rip you off for that blinking pick and mix. I'm just telling you, it's like, it looks so good, but it's so costly. The price is so high. And I think it demonstrates what I'm trying to say this morning. When you pick and mix between the law and grace, what do you have? You got nothing. You got nothing. It's costing you way more than you think. No one lived a healthy life on pick and mixes. I've not discovered anyone. No one did. They're a treat. They're a nice sugary treat, but too many of them, and you're like, ah, forget it. And I say to us this morning, the law was then, we build upon it in grace. And now under grace, we move forward and we do incredible things through him. Can I encourage you with that this morning? Second thing this morning is this, there is new wine in us. We've got to know there's new wine in us. We've got to know that there is new wine in us. Why do we forget this so quickly? Do you remember in the early days when you just got saved and you were just passionate for the things of God? You were running through brick walls, literally. She's like, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, that's me. Anybody help with the church? Yeah, me. You know, I can do that. You know, kids, yeah, me. Sign me up. And then after a few weeks, we're exhausted. We're just exhausted because we're trying to do everything. But you know what's really good about that season, what's really good at that time, is just the excitement that we have, the enthusiasm that we have. We're desperate to go for it. And I think what's really happening in those times is we're transitioning from the law which says you should do loads, because sometimes when we get saved, our heart is like, I just want to do loads for God. I want to do loads for God. And we do, but sometimes our heart can be a hook in it that says, I'm doing it because I really want to thank God for how good he's been to me. And it's not in grace that we're doing it. We're actually doing it through works because we're used to works. We're used to working hard for things. You know, you work hard for your exams, you get what you deserve. You work hard in your workplace, you get the reward you deserve. But in the things of God, think about this now for a moment, just to stretch our thinking just for a moment. Could we have ever worked hard enough for our salvation? Could we ever have worked hard enough for his forgiveness? No, I just encourage you with that. The answer is no, it's really simple. Really no. Now, I'm not advocating laziness because God never called us to be lazy. I've said it before, when we get to heaven, we're still going to work. But we're working from a different place. We're working from a different place. It's not I'm working because I need to or because I've got to pay him back or because, you know, it's like something terrible will happen to me otherwise. No, I'm working for him out of grace. His grace sustains me. It's like, God, wow, I feel like supernaturally I'm able to do more. You know, people sometimes ask me, how can I do this and, you know, do church and do my work and do all of these things? And I said, I have no idea because it's a supernatural grace. And yet here's what I find. When you step into your grace zone and when you're operating under grace, you're getting refreshed. I get refreshed on these days. I get refreshed. Now I'm exhausted sometimes, of course, because we all get tired. But I'm stepping into refreshment more than exhaustion. Because I'm in the grace and the will of God. Guys, those early days when we're excited and we're like passionate and we're like on the honeymoon period, don't get disillusioned. A lot of it can be just because you're so grateful, you're still kind of in a works mentality. But God has brought you into a grace zone today. He's brought you into grace that says, you go through me. You go through my strength. You do what I've called you to do. So what I'm really trying to say today is don't get locked up in your emotions. Don't get locked up in what you used to do and how I used to be far better back then. Just determine today, I'm serving God. I am serving God. I'm going to be obedient to him in whatever he has called me to do. And here's what I've realized with God is that some days you're going to be flat out. You're going to be flat out doing incredible things for him. And then other days, obedience just looks like sitting at his feet, getting restored, receiving his anointing afresh, him filling you all over again. And in terms of what did you do? Nothing. You couldn't tell anybody what you've done. But what you've done has been so important. You've spent time in the presence of God. That will radically transform you for the days when you will do radical things where you'll see like 20 people saved one day, or you'll do incredible things in your workplace, or you'll come up with a new business idea and you'll have accomplished so much in terms of earthly things. But the rhythm of your life is completely different. It's just completely, the seasons of your life are completely different because you've learned to rest in the presence of the Lord. You've learned that rest in his presence is your strength for every moment. You've learned that one moment in his presence is the grace that you need to sustain you to do everything that he's called you to do. We got to step away. We got to step away from what we're doing because we need to, because we have to. And we're stepping into his grace. And we're saying, you've called me to this, Lord. We are filled with him. And every day, he is transforming us. Have you ever found yourself just, I don't know, usually hindsight tells you this, but you've been going hard for God. You've been going really well for God. And then you just get to burnout. Just burnout zone. It's just like, I mean, you're just crying at every turn. You're just worn out in every way. I mean, of course, that can come from hurt. And usually it comes from hurt of people. But I have to tell you that it usually does. And churches are the worst for it, which includes all of us. Amen. We're bad at that. We hurt each other. It's not good. It's not healthy. God needs to transform us more. We need more of his wine. We need more of his goodness. We need more of his Holy Spirit. But you ever find yourself just there and you're just broken? I mean, I think a lot of the times, the reason why we get to those, but not all of the times, not saying all the times, but a lot of the times because we've stepped away a tiny bit from his grace and we've started to do it in our own strength. We've started to do it like, I can do this. I'm just going to power on through. No. You know, because sometimes pride kicks in. I'm just going to do this no matter what. You know, no matter what, I'm just doing this because that's who I am and that's what people expect. Before you know it, you stepped out of that grace that God's called you in, and you're doing your grace thing. You're in your grace zone. You're doing what he's called you to do. But there was a season where you maybe needed to trust him more. You need to do this, need to do that. You be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And what do you find? I've been there. You find yourself in a mess. You find yourself in a mess. Can I tell you that even on your best day, you're still a mess? Can I tell you, even if you got everything to work out just perfectly one day, you'd still be a mess? What is transforming you is the new wine that is in you. It's the Holy Spirit that sustains you. And in him, you can do all things. And remember, every time he sees you, all he keeps saying is, I'm so pleased with you. I'm so pleased with you. I'm so pleased with you. I'm so proud of you, son. I'm so thankful for you, daughter. I'm just so grateful for you that you're my child. That's what he says when you're in his grace. Otherwise, it's like, I can never do enough. Wow, this Jesus stuff is tough work, you know? And we're just getting locked into that old system. And God says we're in a new system. Third thing this morning, the new wine needs to ferment. This is the tricky part. The new wine needs to ferment. It needs to. What I've discovered is that not all the trials that I go through are from the enemy. Amen? Not all of them. Some of them, if not a lot of them, God is using every single one of them to ferment me, to transform me, to stretch me, to strain me. I have found that the Holy Spirit wants to come inside of our lives, and he wants to come inside of your life, but he needs to just expand a bit. You ever find that? He needs to come into your life. He needs to expand a bit because your thinking is still blocked up with old negative thinking, so he needs to move into that area. Now, when God comes and pinpoints something in your thinking that you don't like, not nice. And sometimes he'll tell it to you through other people, and you're like, I don't want to hear that. You know, I don't want to hear that. Like, leave me alone. It's like we become five again. But there's things that he needs to transform. They say, like, that's not good the way you talk to that person. What? Who are you to talk to me? Who are you to? And it just goes. And it just goes crazy. I mean, all that reveals is that there's just more stretching we need to do. There's more growth that needs to happen. That wine needs to mature in us. The Holy Spirit needs to mature in us. He needs to continuously transform it. What's the areas of thinking that have not yet been yielded to him? Here's the hard part about this. It's hard to see it in ourselves. We're blindsided a lot of the times. So we need to be in his presence for him to reveal it. And we need to be around good friends, trusted friends that can point it out with love. Like, you don't want to be around a friend that's been, like, I've been down to tell you this for 20 years. I mean, like, get ready. You're going to get hit hard. So you got to be careful. And you say, please be gentle. Because even though the words may not be that significant, the wound can go deep. So what does the word tell us? We've got to be in communion with each other. We've got to be in fellowship with each other. We've got to be there for each other. Because there are things in each one of our lives that we need to help each other with and go, hey, I just want you to see this. But then it's not just saying it. You've got to be there to help them to overcome, to be there to help them to grow, to be there to help them go through that mess. So what's the areas of thinking that needs to change? There's conversation that needs to change. Guys, I want to challenge our hearts. Whenever we're hearing conversation that is not the conversation that we know Jesus would want us to have, and what I mean is it's not like, I mean, we're not all talking about like really lovely, airy-fairy stuff all the time. It's not that. But it's like, it's like life-giving. It's like, something's going to change there. That's the kind of conversation we want to hear. Like, something's going to change there. I just see that person's definitely getting saved. You know, we just start to speak life. Because sometimes it's not about what you say, it's what you're not saying. It's about what you're not saying. Sometimes that's where we need to encourage you to go, like, when was the last time we just spoke in faith about your families getting saved? When was the last time we spoke in faith, like, in my workplace, I'm going to see multitudes saved? When was the last time we spoke in faith that I'm going to start a prayer meeting in my workplace and I'm going to see people one by one saved? It's sometimes what we're not saying. What are the things that we need to say? Again, here's the tricky part. Without being in the presence of the Lord, without having some good people around us, without allowing that Holy Spirit to ferment and grow inside of us, we'll never think of it. We'll just never, ever think of it. We'll never say it. We'll never do it. What are the areas this morning, church, where God needs to transform you? What are the areas this morning where God just needs to grow in you? Remember, the wineskin is able to grow. The wineskin is able to. We are able to grow through his strength and through his help. The oil of the Holy Spirit, the goodness of the Holy Spirit is in your life from salvation, but he wants to flow more. The thing that transformed my life significantly above all else apart from salvation was being filled with the Spirit. Realizing that I could be baptized in the Spirit and realizing that I could be filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over again as much as I could. And you know what I realized? I just need more of him. I need to get into his presence more and more and more and more and more. If we're going to become more like Jesus, then here's the tricky part. You're going to have to change. You are going to have to change. And if I want to become more like him, I've got to get closer to him because those that you're closest to are the ones that you are becoming. If you want to know who you're becoming, look around and see who you're closest to. That's it's them. You're becoming like them. It's the way it's always worked. Relationships has been always the way it's worked. So the closer we are to him, that's who we are becoming. Be careful who you're close to. Be careful who's getting in the way of your relationship with him, because I need to be close to him. Otherwise, remember what happens. The new wine comes, the old wineskin can't stretch, everything gets lost, everything's a mess, everything's no good. If you're feeling exhausted this morning, maybe you find yourself trying to patch things up with Jesus, maybe you find yourself just trying to make it all fit together, surrender. It's not worth the fight. Can I tell you that? It is not worth the fight. Surrender to his grace. Surrender to his love. Let him heal you from the past of those negative things that you did or you said or you were involved in. Let him set you free from them. Maybe some things today that you're thinking, that you're saying, that you're doing, surrender them to him. Let him set you free from them. Systems are not going to work forever. Can I tell you that? You can put all the good practices in place for your sin, but it's going to be in front of him, transformed by him, broken before him, that's going to bring the change, that's going to bring the transformation. That is what we need. Let's stand together. Going to finish out with some worship. Last thought this morning. As we just come in, I'm just inviting the Holy Spirit just to come and challenge our thinking. We are very good, or maybe it's just me. If it's just me, then pray for me. I'm very good at resisting. Very good. I'm very good at sensing the Spirit. I'm very good at sensing what God wants me to do. I'm very good at reading the Bible and understanding what it says. I can get those things. It's simple because God's made things simple. It's not because I'm smart. It's because he's smart and he's really good at making things simple. And so I can understand it. But here's what I've found is that I'm very good at resisting it. And resistance comes in many different forms. It's like, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I'll change one day. I'll let him do that someday. It's like, but you don't understand, because I've been through a lot of pain. Resistance. But you don't understand, like, you don't know what I'm going through. Resistance. Just be careful that what we're speaking is not resistance to what God wants to do. The good news of the wineskin was it couldn't resist. It couldn't resist. But here's the blessing, and don't allow it to be a curse in your life. The blessing of your life this morning is that you're not a wineskin in the sense of what they were. Oh, wineskin with no life, just dead skin. That's not you. You are living, breathing, healthy, son and daughter of the living God. You've got a mind. You've got a will of your own. Sometimes the biggest problem, we need to submit our will to His. But today what we need to do is, God, what is it in me? What is it in me that you need to do, Lord? And He's going to reveal things that you never wanted Him to reveal, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to have purpose. There may be some pain, but it's going to be the transformation that you need. And why are we doing all these things? Why are we focusing on all these things? Because we haven't been called for ourselves. We haven't called to be just fit in. We haven't been called to just be a partaker. We've been called to be a transformer. I'm making up a word now. We've been called to be a transformer. That's it. We've been called to be a transformer. We've been called to this city at this time. You've been called to your workplace at this time. We have to know this, church. You're not just there to make some money and go home and just try to pay a few bills. That's just heartbreaking if that was the case. Heartbreaking. You are there to bring transformation, to see revival wherever you go, because the grace of God is on you. And I know you don't feel it. And I know that you probably don't even want it, because you're still living an old stinking thinking, and God needs to transform something in you so that you're never the same again. I will tell you what the greatest, one of the greatest things, if not the greatest, is to be a part of someone's salvation, is to be a part of someone's transformation, is to be a part of being there for someone when they're pouring their heart out to you, and you're able to tell them about Jesus. You're able to tell them about Jesus, the guy who came, the Lord who left heaven, just this incredible God who gave up everything that He had and went to a cross, a cruel cross, a cross full of shame, full of sin, full of hurt, full of pain. But He did it willingly because of love. Here's the call for us today. It's not necessarily obedience, although obedience is important. It's not because He's asking us to. It's because of love. It's because of love. And so maybe the love needs to increase. Maybe the Lord just needs to baptize us with a fresh outpouring of love in our hearts today, so that His compassion could move your heart to do something you've never done before, to actually love people. I didn't have time to share it this morning, but the Good Samaritan story, go home and read it. Good Samaritan story, go home and read it. I believe the Lord's called us to be like Him. In fact, His desire that all three would stop and help someone in need. Okay, so we've got to get past ourselves. We've got to step out. We've got to step up. We've got to realize the time is short. We've got to realize that we are here for something more. And I tell you this, true satisfaction is found on the other side of your fear. It's found there. True satisfaction is on the other side of your fear when you step out in faith and God does wonderful things in your life. Come on, let's pray. And I encourage you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, then invite Him, ask Him, just cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I need this. I need You to move. Just pour out your heart to Him. Just say, Holy Spirit, I need something more. Holy Spirit, I need You more in my life. Holy Spirit, I'm just sick of trying to fit in. It's exhausting. I'm fed up of feeling worthless. I'm fed up of just feeling a mess. I'm fed up of this. Lord, I need to step fully into this new system You've given me, this new law, which is grace, amazing grace. I want to step fully into it. Holy Spirit, would You pour out Your new wine today afresh in our hearts, Lord? Come on, let's invite Him to come. Let's invite Him to pour out afresh. Holy Spirit, just pour out afresh in our lives. We need You more than we know. We need You more than we know. Holy Spirit, would You come? Holy Spirit, would You come? Holy Spirit, would You move? Holy Spirit, bypass our brains today. Our brains are getting in the way far too much. It was never Your design. Lord, bypass our thinking today. Let it catch up later. Amen. Let it catch up later. Amen. Bypass our talk this morning. It's dominating our actions way too much. Bypass it. Let it catch up later, Lord. Let it catch up later, Lord. Come on. We just want to believe what He has called us to believe, and that is more of Your wine, more of Your anointing, more of Your Holy Spirit.